Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, throughout history, there have been kings or monarchs, people who have ruled over a large number of people. And there have been also those who would like to rule over a large number of people. There are those that, as they say, would be king. And we see every once in a while someone pop up that fits that description on the world scene. There have also been those who have falsely claimed to be the Messiah or to be the Savior. And as looking back in history, we find that even goes back before the time of Jesus. It goes back over 2,000 years that there were those who appeared on the scene that claimed to be Messiah. And it's down to this day. We've had those who've claimed to be Messiah. Some have claimed to be Jesus returned to earth. Of course, they sure didn't live anything like Jesus, but that's who they claimed to be. And of course, in some cases, they had a fair number of people that begin to follow after them. And we've had those who have set out, and some even accomplished, ruling the known world of their time. And I believe it was I can't think of his name right now, but not back in history, the young Greek emperor who set out to rule the world and actually reached the... Alexander, yes, Alexander the Great, set out to rule the world. And at one point in his young life, because he didn't live to be very old, sat and cried because he had no more worlds to conquer in his mind. So we've had those that have set out to do things like that and have, in some cases, reached their goal. And we've got people today that really, that's their goal. They would like to rule the world. And there's more than one person out there that would like to rule the world. They would like to be the one that everyone bows down to and gives homage to in one form or another. And we have those that want to set up their little kingdom, and you either do it their way, as they used to say, it's either their way or the highway. In their case, it's their way or the guillotine or something very similar to that. So we have those that are trying to come into authority, and some within their own little part of the world have accomplished that. So the world is on a path today that is leading to disaster. I don't care how you look at it, it's leading to disaster one way or the other. And the Bible, quite frankly, tells us there's a day coming which is going to be disastrous for this world. So we're on that path. And when completed, it will lead to a one world leader, a one world government, and a one world religion. We hear it being talked about, not only right now, but it's been talked about for years. There are those who have set out for years to establish that very goal of one world government, one world leader, one world everything, including one world religion. There are those that this very day are talking about there being just one world religion. And frankly, it's not just Islam that's talking about that. But there are others who are talking about just one world religion. Let's all get together. Let's all coexist. Light cannot coexist with darkness. Good cannot coexist with evil. There are those that are trying to bring this into being, though. Islam tells us that the day is coming when their Mahdi will come back and rule the world. Now, in Islamic eschatology, the Mahdi is the prophesied redeemer of Islam, who will rule for, and this is debated among them, for either 5, 7, 9, or 19 years. They can't quite make up their mind what it's going to be. But he's going to come back and he's going to rule. The thing that I find interesting here is they're talking about within their prophecy here that their Mahdi is going to rule, and one of their interpretations, for the same length of time as the Antichrist, basically. It's kind of interesting, I think. In fact, actually, their Mahdi is going to be very Antichrist. He's going to be the polar opposite of what Christ is, of what Jesus is. Some who follow that religion believe and have stated that this would take place by the end of 2015 or 2016. Well, 2015 has come and gone, and guess what? They've taken over a lot of places, but their Mahdi has not returned. They also have said that this would be followed later by the return of Jesus, who would be essentially the executioner for the Mahdi of all those who do not bow down to Islam. Quite opposite of the Jesus of the Bible. A Jesus who comes back and says, no, 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 I'm Islam. I'm a Muslim now. And I've come back to enforce the rule of the Mahdi here. If you don't bow down to Islam, I'm going to cut off your head. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. That is not the Savior of the world. That is not the Son of God. Now, there's going to be somebody going to show up on the scene somewhere along the line who's going to somewhat be like that. That's for certain. But it's not going to be the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that we as Christians serve. Now, for Christians, maybe this will ring some sort of a bell regarding some of the events that are prophesied in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelations, and other places in the Bible. And we have those today who would be king, those who would do anything that it takes to usher in a new world order, a new world leader, and run things the way they would like them to run. The Bible, God's holy writ, tells us of events that are on the horizon and of two kings that are come. That first one will be the one that we often refer to as the Antichrist. And interestingly enough, even though we as Christians use that term quite often, it's only used a couple of times in the scripture and refers to Antichristos, or an opponent of Messiah. In fact, actually, it's found four times in Scripture, and its meaning can be against Christ, or instead of Christ, or a combination of the two, or one who assumes the guise of Christ. And the word is only found in John's epistles, where we find it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, chapter 2, verse 22, chapter 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, and 1 John 4, verse 3, where we find that this word is mentioned. Now, in the book of Revelations, we don't find the word Antichrist. We find the word beast. Very accurate description of the one who is yet to come. And of course, in the English language, sometimes we have words that can have very different meanings depending upon how they are used. And maybe the pronunciation, the spelling, some of it can be maybe a little bit different, but they're very similar words. And as I was researching this message, I was reading here, used in the book of Revelation in place of the word Antichrist is the word beast. So I began to look into the words that were translated beast. Because as you read here in Revelations chapter 4 through 6, the Greek word used is dizon or something like that. I'm not quite sure of the exact pronunciation, which can be translated a living thing or a living being. For example, in Revelation 6, 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Now, the New Holloman Christian Standard Bible translates it this way. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And that goes along with the way that word can be translated from the Greek. However, when we get into Revelations chapter 11 and beyond, we find the word beast, but a different Greek word is used. Tharion, I believe is the pronunciation, and it can be translated a dangerous animal, venomous, wild beast. And this is the one that we commonly refer to as the Antichrist, called the beast in Revelations, a dangerous being, a dangerous creature. One who would be king, one who would rule the world, one who would be worshipped. One who is for a season. Thankfully, he's only for a season. And let's think about it. If you listen to the news, or wherever you get your news from, whatever source, you find talk of people wanting to set up one way of doing things that all nations would be obedient to. There's even talk that they would like to put our country under the police powers of the United Nations, making it one world police force. And that's not something new. That thought has been going on as long as I can remember, that the day would come when there would be that one body who would enforce the law around the world. We have those who want to have one world religion, as I mentioned earlier, and we see them working it to. Guess what? Even the Pope has pretty much stated he'd like to see one world religion. Now, I don't know exactly what religion he would like to see for sure, because I'm not sure that he wants to see Catholicism be the one world religion. You would think, being the Pope, that that's what he would want, but I don't believe that's the case. I think he wants to see a religion that will not necessarily favor Christianity, that will come into being. I heard today that somebody stated, and I don't remember the exact figures, but it was a horrendous amount of Christians that are being killed every hour in various parts of the world. Christianity, the Christianity that we know and the Christianity that we love, is under attack by a beast who would destroy it. Now, as I say, by a beast that would destroy it, am I talking about the Antichrist? I'm talking about the spirit of the Antichrist that's already in the world, because that spirit is here as the actual being here. He probably is. He's probably alive and quite well. He just hasn't come into power yet. So we've got him going around wanting to be in charge. As I said, there were two kings. One is for a season, and his time, the Bible tells us, is for a season. He will only have a few years of time that he will rule. But I wanted to let you know that there is another king that the Bible talks about. Another king who is coming. Another king whose day, when he comes and arrives on the scene, it will make a worldwide change. It will shake the earth. It will make changes that we could only imagine and only dream of. Let's look at God's word here to see what it says about this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 through 15, it says, I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, which under Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot and unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is in due time, he shall show that is blessed and prince only, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Timothy wrote, the King is going to come back one of these days, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And we as Christians today, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the day that our King comes back to rule and reign. Then in the book of Revelation, it is written in Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, John writing, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And as he's speaking here, he's telling John to write down the things that he's going to see, and to write them in a book that we will have them, that we will be able to study them, we will be able to have inkling, some foreknowledge of what is to come in the world that is ahead. And in this book, he speaks of the beast, or as we say, the Antichrist, and what is some of the things to come, and of these things. But then he goes on in Revelation chapter 17, verse 19, where he says, verses 9 through 14, here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, and whereon the woman setteth, they are also seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is to come, and another is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And here he's speaking of the beast or the Antichrist. And the beast that was and was not is even the eighth, and is one of the seven, and all go into destruction. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which yet have not received a kingdom, but shall receive power as the kings at 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and they shall give their power and authority unto the beast. And they shall fight with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. And who is that Lamb? I just added that into the scripture there. Who is that Lamb? That's what we're talking about. For he is the Lord of lords, or the King of kings, and they that are on his side called and chosen and faithful. He's saying here, the Lord of lords, the King of kings is going to come back. He's going to rule. He's going to reign. And those who are on his side are called chosen and faithful. If you're a child of God, if you're serving Jesus Christ, if you've given your heart and life to him, you are called the chosen. You are called the faithful. And the Bible tells us that one day we'll rule and reign with him. The King is coming. The King of kings is coming. You know, throughout history, even back into biblical times, going back into the Bible, you find them talking about the kings. And of course, without that, there were always times that someone at some point would be saying, the King is coming. Because that earthly king was on his way. Get ready, the King is coming. And the rumors, or the word would be spread around throughout the kingdom, or wherever he was going to be. Be prepared, the King is coming. Well, I want you to know, be prepared, because not only is the King coming, the King of kings is coming. The Lord of lords is coming. The one who will reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever is coming. And guess what? He's coming for us. He's coming for us. He's coming back to rule and reign over us, and we're going to jointly, the Bible tells us, to rule and reign with him. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And I want to stop there just a minute, because if you go back a little bit earlier into the book of Revelation, you find another white horse in there. Remember, there are four horses? One of them's white. That false king is going to come in riding on a white horse. He's going to try to convince everybody that he is that King of kings. But he's not. He's an imposter. He's a phony, he's a fake, and his reign will be for a short period. But those that follow him, unfortunately, will also be following him throughout eternity as well. And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And he judgeth and fighteth righteously. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a garment dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the hosts which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth went out a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the heathen, for he should rule them with a rod of iron. For he it is that treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath upon his garment, upon his thigh, a name written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no greater King. There is no greater Lord. But the King that is coming, Jesus Christ. He's coming back. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 says, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We as Christians, we as members of the church, are looking for the coming of the King. And we can sometimes agree and disagree or whatever about certain things as how certain events will play out. But one thing we know for sure and we can agree upon for sure is the fact that He is coming. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. And the Bible tells us that anybody that sits out there and says it's going to be this day, this hour, that time, not to listen to them, basically. Because no man, not even right now, does Jesus know the day nor the hour that He's coming. But He's coming. We know that. The Word of God tells us so. And He's coming for us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad He's coming for me. I'm looking forward to His coming. How many of you want to die? I didn't get one hand raised. That's good, though. That's good. We'd be in a terrible fix if somebody raised their hand and said they wanted to die. You know, we'd have to have a prayer service right now. You know, most people don't want to die. Even Christians don't want to die. Somebody was making a comment the other day about they were getting older and some of the problems that you run into with age. And in particular, this gentleman was talking about, if he bumped something, he got a bruise, you know, and this, that, and the other. I sent him an email and said, wait till you get to be my age. Yeah. And somebody posted another note to him, yeah, but what's the alternative? You know, it's better than the alternative. See, Christians don't want to die, but we want to be in heaven with Jesus. But we want to be there on Jesus' terms. You know, we don't particularly want to rush up the way we get there sometimes. But we need to be ready. Amen. We're looking forward to the day that He comes. And whether we go by way of the grave or whether we go by way of the rapture, it doesn't make any difference. We know He's coming. And He's coming for me. I'm so thankful that He's coming for me. And you are to say that to yourself. I'm so thankful He's coming for me. Because most people look at themselves and say, I'm not worthy. And realistically, we're not. Only His blood made us worthy. Only the salvation that He gave for us. The atonement for our sin made us worthy to go in. It's nothing that we have done. We can never do anything to make ourselves worthy other than accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, because that's the only way. But He's coming for us. You know, I sometimes think back to when I was young. Sometimes it's hard to remember that far back. But I remember when I was a kid in Arkansas. And I don't want to say that I didn't know anything, but I didn't know a whole lot, you know. I grew up, and as far back as I can remember, grew up kind of out in the country a little bit, and I didn't know a whole lot until I got in school. I knew the sun came up in the morning, and it went down in the evening, and that was about it, you know. And you could tell me some things, and I wouldn't believe them. They were truth, but I didn't necessarily believe some of them because I couldn't see proof of it, you know. I wasn't going to say that, you know. And I have to. This sounds crazy, but somebody told me one time that the Earth revolved around the sun, and I told them no, it didn't. I said my reasoning was, well, we're not moving. Has this house got any closer to the road? We're not moving. You know, that was my reasoning as about a 5-year-old, you know. And we don't know a lot of stuff. I considered myself, looking back, a little country bumpkin at that time, you know. And I look back, and sometimes I'm so thankful for the blessings that God has bestowed upon me, the things that He's enabled me to do. Because looking back at then, I was nobody. And looking back, if I'd have continued on that path, I'd have had absolutely no future, I don't think. You know? But God loved me. And He says, see that kid down there? I love him. And He's looked down at you as well. And He says, see that person down there? See Steve down there? I love him. See Becky down there? I love her. See Katie? I love her. Katrina, Reese, Larry, Terry, Mary, Casey, all of you that are here, even Christopher. He looked down and said, I love Christopher. You know? Oh, Christopher got a good smile there, I'll tell you. God loves us. Okay, and Samuel, yeah, I don't want to miss Samuel back there. God loves Samuel. He loves everyone. He loves that dirty, rotten sinner that's out committing some horrendous crime right now. And He would save them if they would only let Him. He loves all of us. And He's sending the King to get us someday. That we can be a part of His kingdom. That we can rule and reign with Him for eternity. Oh, I'm thankful for that. The King of Kings is coming. And I'm thankful. We are a blessed people if we have Jesus Christ in our heart. And yes, it's possible, even as a Christian here in America, that you could stand someday and be asked to either deny Jesus or lose your life. But I love God. I love Jesus more than my life. Now, it may not always be an easy thing to have to do if you're standing there and they've got that whatever they're going to use. But you know what? I believe if you're a child of God, that God's going to give you strength. We read of how Christians and the persecution of the Christians in the early church, as they were marched out in the Colosseum, in some cases went out singing, praising God. There are Christians today that are being killed. They're praising God because God gives us strength. He loves us, and He's ready to welcome us home if that's the case. But we are a child of the King. You may have been born in this life a nobody, but you are now a child of the King if you serve Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank You today for Your blessings. I thank You for all that You bestowed upon us. And I thank You that You love us so much that You sent heaven's best gift to pay the price for our sin. And that by asking Jesus Christ into our heart and turning away from sin, from repenting of sin, turning our back on it, we follow after You. And we become Your child. And then someday in the not too distant future, You're sending the King to get us. Oh, he may have come as the Lamb, but he's coming back as the King. And we're going to rule and reign with him. Father, I'm so thankful for that. And Father, if there's anyone listening to this message outside this building today by the internet or whatever other means that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that right now the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and guide them through as they ask Jesus to come into their heart and into their life. I thank you for that now, for we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.